Welcome to The Odds Couple, a presentation of ESPN Chicago. The Odds Couple is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. The Odds Couple. Here's your hosts, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
Welcome into this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. It's Mike North and Carmen DeFalco with you as we roll into another weekend. It is good to be back, Mike. I missed you guys last week. I needed a week to decompress after that long NFL season. I'm a little sad that NFL is over. So I was gone last Friday, but you guys pressed on with a great show without me. And thanks to Tyler Rocky for sitting in.
What do you mean, you guys? Where's Eric? He wasn't there. Nobody was there.
Eric was in the Dominican.
Yeah, and I was you're at running home. Around. I don't know what you're doing.
I was waiting for a washing machine repairman to come over.
Walking around, I mean, with a robe and a cigarette holder like a John Barrymore. And I'm here holding the bag. And I to be honest with you, after watching San Francisco, I don't want to be like Nicky Santoro talking to the banker.
Right.
But I think I want my money back.
I got to see. Okay? Right, yeah.
McCaffrey fumbles, and it's been haunting me. And then I told you the story last night because we went to Pennyville Station, and Eric was supposed to join us, Eric Ostrowski, and hi, everybody, appreciate it. And Eric, you know what, had a little medical situation that he's taking care of.
But, his one-year-old had a medical situation that he had to take care of.
Yeah, one-year-old, which I'd be in shock still if something like that happened. I mean, so he's doing fine now, Eric, and we're happy about that. But we talked about you and Eric leaving, and I got to explain my San Francisco pick, but the bleeding of the golf into the Super Bowl, and I took my eye off the ball, and Charlie Hoffman had a 3-stroke lead with 4 holes to go, and he blew it, and I didn't know it, and I had been live betting all along, and I'm sure it's happened to other people. Catastrophe. What a catastrophic Super Bowl. Crazy.
Normally you wouldn't have to worry about it, but the weather delayed the start. The weather delayed the start of that whole damn thing, and so then you missed the end of it.
Well, you know what happened, and believe me, my wife's the greatest, and if I say anything otherwise, I don't eat. Okay? But here's the thing. It was one of these deals where every year we watch the Super Bowl, we don't have any interruptions. So we went through it, and I didn't even change the channel to check the score on golf because I figured Charlie Hoffman would win and Nick Taylor hit some ridiculous putt. I find out about it the next morning. I went into a depression for about an hour, and then I said, let's go back to work.
Unbelievable.
That's what you got to do. It's like the stock market.
You do have to do that, but it is crazy the way
it was
happened.
A hard one for me. It was a bad beat Sunday.
Yeah, that absolutely was.
And you know what, McCaffrey, I see the commercial. You know, and he's running with the ball. Hold on to it.
Hold on to the ball.
For the one time I needed you. We all needed you. And you would have won that game. Period.
I don't even want to, like, start circling back to it, you know? I mean, I know. It's they were going right down the field of them on that opening drive. It's a couple little things here and there. And then, you know, Shanny ends up getting lambasted, and he's got to own some of the stuff late and the decision to probably kick the ball off, to take the ball first. But you know, there's a few little things here and there. If San Fran does right, they win that game.
Jennings would have been MVP, and I'll tell you this. With my system, I've been pretty successful, but it doesn't do enough to rate the coaches. But I'm going to go on record as saying I will pay as much attention to Shanahan, and Carmen will too. We promise. If Carmen promises, to pay as much attention when I tell him about John Harbaugh and his nonsense in the postseason where he hardly hands the ball off.
That was bad.
I mean, it was just bad coaching.
That was bad.
And the buck stops with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the next two, and what do I see 2 days later? He's talking about God. Well, you know what? Maybe take some advice from the big guy upstairs. The ball.
Maybe listen, Like
come
he's
on.
Trying to tell you something. If he's telling you to run the ball a little bit, you know.
I mean, but you know what? He's a heck of a coach, but I've told Carmen in big spots, some of these guys, they don't get it done.
Oh, you're right. They have, you know, like, I like the way Big Cat put it with Waddle and Sylvie earlier this week when he was on. He said, these guys, even the good ones, all have a blind spot.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody.
Right, Mike?
Yeah.
And listen, I no disrespect to Matt Eberflus, but if you told me you could get John Harbaugh or Kyle Shanahan as the coach of the Bears, I'm driving Matt Eberflus to the airport. I mean, I just am. But you're not wrong.
No.
They all have some weaknesses. And when they come in big moments in the playoffs, when all the eyes are on them, it's like, you know, this
Harbaugh hasn't won since 2008.
I know. Or 2011,
and
right? When we're 2013, when they win their Super Bowl? 13, I think?
Yeah. Tomlin hadn't won since
Tomlin hasn't won in a long time.
So I will tell you this. Tomlin, he was such a genius. So Mitch is on the free agent market now because he decided after a couple games, Mitch wasn't worthy. We're going to go to Pickett. Now he doesn't want any of them. And for some reason, he is, you know, there's people not happy. Now there's rumors about Fields going there. Mm-hmm. It's 25-1. I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
Maybe Atlanta. But I just want everybody to know this. If Justin Field goes, I promise Carmen, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do I send the individual Bear writers and Bear media blue paint with it so they can paint their faces blue with the number one? When I said everybody invested in this kid, now all of a sudden, oh, let's go to the next thing, Carmen. And you know what? I think the next thing is what I brought up 2 weeks ago, which you thought was good. It was all about Kirk Cousins. And guess what? Now I'm hearing about Russell Wilson.
I think that's a long shot. I mean, you're going to have to trade for Russell Wilson.
I understand. But Kirk Cousins is on the market. I've already said if you got either one of those two guys, you're going to end up making the playoffs. If we don't, I don't care who the quarterback is. We're not. I think we need a veteran. And then if they want to draft a guy like Caleb Williams or anybody else, draft them. But go get the veteran. Let the kid learn like Love did from Green Bay. Because I don't think you can do the Jordan, the Justin Fields thing again and just hand a rookie with no experience except maybe prospects a job. Do you? Are we going to go through this again?
I think they're going to go through it again.
Oh,
I do.
God.
I think they I think all the odds will tell you that right now too. I mean, the Bears are such a heavy favorite to stay atop the board and pick a quarterback, whether that's Caleb or somebody else.
And I understand that, but we're going to do the same darn
yes,
thing.
They're going to yes.
And the people who were chirping about, and I mean, I took abuse, folks, because I was a Mitch guy, and I turned out right. If Justin Fields leaves, he lasted less time than Mitch did. And I took abuse from the people that are now going to go to the Caleb Williams wagon after being on the Justin Fields going to Canton wagon. And I'm supposed to take that this time? Everybody's hoping and praying the Bears do the right thing. The wrong thing was maybe that Ryan Poles decided we're going to inherit this kid and maybe it will work. Maybe he should have done something that year. Who knows? You know what I mean? I think you had to give Justin Fields another shot. But do you think Justin Fields is going somewhere else? I heard Greeny saying.
I think he is.
But do you think he's going to prove the Bears wrong?
I don't think so.
I'm with you.
I don't. And here's what I will
because
say.
Because he won't have the press coddling him like happened here. I'm telling you, folks.
Depending on where he goes, but yeah, you could be right. Here's what I will say. They draft a young quarterback. They play him all year. If the Bears win fewer games next year than they did this year, then they deserve to be lambasted.
Well, that's why I want Cousins and Wilson, and then maybe you get a guy like Hartman in the fourth round from Notre Dame, who's 24 years old, played at Wake Forest, knows how to play the position, maybe not as gifted athletically as many, but we've seen. See, I just see Goff, Mayfield, Stafford. These are all guys that made it to the playoffs or have won Super Bowls or been involved in Super Bowls that are with other organizations after they were thrown on the scrap heap.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing could happen with, Cousins isn't a scrap heap guy, but he's coming off injury. And Russell Wilson last year had a great year, folks. He did, but did he come through at times when they needed him? I didn't watch the whole season. But he had if you look at his stats, Carm.
He wasn't terrible. That's true. He wasn't.
What are you, 28-6? Something like that? Touchdown, interception?
I'll double check real quick. That's
I like when you do that. Hold double on. Check. It makes it sound like factual. It does. By the way, last night, folks, we were at Pennyville Station.
It was so good.
Just have the prime rib. Just tell them, order it on a plate, carve it up so everybody can dig in. Then you have some other great things. We just had the time of our life. And I mean, really, we took a picture today on Twitter for Twitter and stuff, and it really looks to me like it's a 50s detective with a young man that's been out of line.
First of all, Mike looks fantastic. Like the diet, and I mean, like he looks fantastic.
Tell Zetterman I'm on keto. I apologize. I used to make fun of it.
He's gonna love it.
And I've lost 28 pounds.
I'm promising you, he's gonna love it.
Tell him, would you pass the word on so the guy gives me the time of day?
And Mike stuck by it. Like he ate nothing but protein.
Ever.
It was great. But he did the veteran move where when we had just sat down, the waitress came over.
Oh yeah.
And without even looking, Mike said, bring a prime rib for the table and slice it up. Veteran move. And it was fantastic. And I'm like, that's how you start the meal right there.
That's it. And then, we had some fillets, some sliders and stuff.
But, awesome.
And then at the bar, let me just say this. What was her name? Chloe? Very nice
Yeah,
lady.
Chloe. Yeah.
Worth the price of admission, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm going to tell everybody.
It was great.
Okay?
We were watching NBA. We were having some laughs. Yeah,
absolutely.
It was fun. All right, when we come
crazy,
back.
Crazy, wild.
We'll talk to a little different than like the old days running around Park Ridge, Mikey.
Yeah.
Coming up
next.
Yeah,
I know what's going on now. Yeah.
We'll talk to our buddy Luke Pergandy, see what's hot at Prop Swap. Mike's got some golf thoughts later on rolling into the weekend. We'll talk a little NBA. We got ponies from Jim Miller. I think the Rebel is this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Jimmy will fill us in on the big prep races for the weekend. So we got a lot to do, folks. We're cruising along. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike and Carmen with each and every week. Catch up on demand. It's the easiest way to get us. You can get all the best plays, never miss anything. Just download the ESPN Chicago app, click on The Odds Couple tile, and you are good to go. The Encore replay will hit the airwaves on AM 1000 and FM 100.3 HD2 coming up on Saturday after White Sox baseball, day baseball out in the Cactus League. Sometime around 5 o'clock or so, rolling into your Saturday evening, you can catch the Encore replay. Time for one of our weekly contributors, and he's one of our favorite guys. Speaking of apps that you better have, get the free and easy-to-use Prop Swap app on your smartphone. And we go out to the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline to say hello to Luke Pergandy.
Oh, your neck of the woods.
Hi, guys. Hi, Carmen. Hi, Mike.
How are you, buddy? Football's over. You know, NBA, college basketball kind of taking center stage here for a little while. Baseball, too, in the coming weeks. But I figured NBA would be a good place to start with you, Luke. And just looking at some of the odds, I find one thing curious, and I've noticed it over the last couple of weeks. Maybe not curious, but it's just sort of interesting. When you look at the top two teams in the Western Conference right now in terms of record, the 1 and 2 seeds, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are back in action after the All-Star break tonight against the Bucks, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, who had a very impressive win coming out of the break last night against the Clippers. Those two teams are 1 and 2 in the West. There are also 6 teams in the NBA with shorter odds to win the title. The T-Wolves and OKC are both 20-1, with the Celtics, Nuggets, Clippers, Bucks, Suns, and Knicks all having shorter odds. It's kind of strange this time of year, post-All-Star break, when you look at the top two seeds and you see them getting 20-22-1 on the odds board, isn't it?
That, to me, is just the classic indication of why the regular season just isn't that relevant to the NBA. Like, I talk about this all the time. The Suns, you still could have found the Suns at single digits like a month ago. And, you know, now they're 14-1. So I bet you at some book you could find a 9-1 somewhere. Then the Phoenix Suns, who are currently, you know, 6.5 back in the West. I mean, this happens every year. It's like, as long as your roster's loaded and you can turn it on come, you know, playoff time and in 2 months, you're going to be okay. And I think the odds makers are just like, we'll take the risk. If you want to take a stab at, you know, the leading T-Wolves or, you know, the Thunder, and we'll give you a 20 Thunder or 25-1 at FanDuel, like you said. Like, that's, we'll take the risk, because I think is their opinion.
Yeah, and that's a good thing that you're saying, take the risk. I know, like, Jokic still hasn't missed the shot from last night. He had a historic night, ladies and gentlemen. The MVP race will be between him and the kid from OKC
right now.
I mean, because they're going to be maybe a one seed.
We'll any chance Luka, that. You think, Mike? Any chance Luka sneaks into that?
I just think the schedule works against them and their lack of defense. I think they'll lose some games. Yeah. Nobody expected OKC to be where they're at, and that kid's great. But, I mean, Jokic, I mean, now he's breaking records that Will Chamberlain had. He's one of 4 guys to do this, not miss a shot, have 15 assists, 15 rebounds. That should be interesting. But I wanted to change the take on golf for a minute here, Luke. We're going to be talking a lot of golf here for the, you know, for the next few weeks. And I want to ask you about LIV and the PGA. My idea would be that LIV is in one conference, like the AFC, and the PGA guys are in another conference. You have just matchup golf, starting on Thursday, in not a Ryder Cup format, but you do something like that, I think all they'd be missing and they'd have it is the major network. I think people are saying, well, someday they're just going to be able to play team golf and all this other nonsense. I think they go back and simplify it like the NFL and make, you know, team, maybe if you want to do a team thing, make it like that, or with individuals, make the rivalries that way. How do you see this happening? And I'll be honest with people, as long as the PGA is on a major network, I'm betting PGA before LIV.
Yeah. No, I mean, distribution is everything for upstart leagues. Mm-hmm. So I agree. If we're, you know, if you can't sit on your couch and watch LIV on Saturday or Sunday, it makes it difficult to bet on versus opening up your laptop and being able to watch it on YouTube. It's just not as enjoyable of an experience. I mean, they acted like this was going to be a merger, you know, 3 months ago.
Right.
The PGA Tour and LIV. And, you know, they had the big press release and the CEOs of both both companies had the, you know, the photograph together, and in no universe has there been a merger. Like, these are completely separate leagues. Still.
They hate each other, and they're trying to take Rory now, and Monahan hasn't been seen since Patton was a corporal. I mean, what's going on? It's crazy.
Totally. There's a Twitter saying, like, there will be lawyers. There will be lawyers involved in this merger. I'm sure they are battling right now in court on how to figure this out. And they acted like this problem was solved. This problem's not solved. Those two are still operating as isolated businesses.
How do you find it affects you guys, Luke? I mean, the PGA is going to have more eyeballs because the coverage is more readily available.
Yeah.
So, like, how does it – and you've talked for years with us about – you guys never really – I think this was sort of just, like, one of the nice sort of dumb luck things that happened when you guys started the site and the app is, like, golf blows up for you guys, especially the big tournaments. And I guess that doesn't matter as much because the big tournaments are going to be seen and all those guys will be there in the majors. But, like, how is it affecting the way people are buying and selling golf tickets at PropSwap?
Yeah, I think with the removal of the stars, John Rahm – you know, and these superstar golfers who have went over to LIV, the underdogs, the 100-to-1 guys who typically wouldn't have had a chance to win these PGA Tour events are now winning. Mm. And you look at, you know, we're only 7 weeks into the season. There's been four separate triple-digit winners on the tour already. Pebble, Waste Management was a third. And that's what's happening is that these guys who have no business winning PGA Tour events, you can get them at 100-to-1, 500-to-1 odds because these superstars are split now between LIV and the tour. That's what's happening.
And you know what else? Nobody else is saying. And you know what nobody else says? Gee, I wonder what John Rahm's doing right now. As they're watching the PGA with these up-and-coming stars, because TV, like Luke says, always makes people stars. You know, it widens the product. You don't know who's going to win anymore. I mean, but you got guys like Cantley who were winning last week and then just choke and let people in. So I just think it's the TV deal that's going to end up being the PGA. And the PGA, I think the PGA knows maybe this Monahan panicked and this merger talk was premature. And now they're trying to back off this thing because there's been no news, guys. Nothing.
Yep.
So...
Totally.
It's pretty wild.
It was completely premature, and I think Monahan was just trying to keep settle everyone down because I'm sure he was getting pressured saying, "What are you doing about LIV?" And he came out with that press release, but I think it was just propaganda. I don't think the nuts and bolts were figured out yet. I don't think the profit sharing was figured out, TV distribution, how you actually merge these two leagues. I don't think that stuff's been figured out yet.
They just rushed into it.
But for now, great for sports bettors. Keep betting long shots.
That's right.
Mexico opens this weekend. You know, you can find some 50-to-1 or 100-to-1 guys. And like you said, we never thought that golf would be this popular on PropSwap. It's just the ability to buy and sell after each round or in round. Just it's a really fun experience when you're watching. It's a new championship every weekend as opposed to the NFL, which is 5 months long of a championship.
Yeah. Well, Masters, guys, we're like just what? Like 7 weeks? A little less than seven weeks away.
On PropSwap.
People are already looking at those tickets, right, Luke?
For sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Selling tons of Masters. So, yeah, the Masters begins on Thursday, April 11th. So we are up against it. You know, March Madness, obviously, before that. But people are for sure buying and selling Masters futures already.
All right, Luke, have a great weekend, buddy. Always a pleasure. And we'll catch up again next Friday.
Okay, thanks, guys. You
too. See you,
pal. All right. It's the best. Golf is the best, folks, because you go one-on-one. You know, you bet the 49ers. They play perfect football, but then one guy fumbles the ball, and then all hell breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
You don't perform up expectations. Some players don't come to play, or some coaches don't come to coach, like we saw in the 49er game and in the Ravens game. So with one-on-one golf, I just think, Carm, it should be the LIV against the PGA, profit sharing, what have you, where, you know what, they can play in the majors, but on the other days, they go against each other. I think it's David versus Goliath, however way you want to do it.
It's a good thought.
I don't know what else they could do.
I don't know, Mike.
I hear they're going to have team play. Nobody wants that. They're doing it now. Nobody cares. Tell me who's won the last four events and live.
I have no clue. I have no clue.
I turned them on WGN. I thought it was my family movies when I was a kid. I mean, there's people laying in the grass with towels.
I know.
What's
going
on?
With music playing in the background.
Right.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk maybe a little bit more NBA. I want to pick Mike's brain on some baseball stuff.
When my brain's picked. It doesn't take long.
Well, we got some big picture baseball stuff we can talk about. The Cactus League, the Grapefruit League's getting underway. We've got day baseball
on
our air today.
I looked like Biden last night, and you looked like Joey Fatone.
Stop it.
Like you were holding me up.
Stop it. Mike, you look incredible, I'm telling you.
Yeah, okay.
Coming up, we got a lot more to do. Plus, Jim Miller a little bit later on, and we'll give you some best plays rolling into the weekend. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is The Odds Couple with Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN Chicago.
On FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app and ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Listen on demand anytime, anywhere with the ESPN Chicago app. Saturday's Encore replay will come your way a little bit later in the day after White Sox baseball, as we've got some Cactus League action here on your home for the White Sox and the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. Follow Mike on Twitter. He is at North to North. That's the number two. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Baseball is getting underway.
Yeah, baby. Belly. Where's Belly?
How about the Boris Four, they're calling him. The Boris Four. You still got Belly, Chapman, Blake Snell, and Jordan Montgomery. It's almost March 1st, Mike, and they're all still out there.
You know, Bellinger, get your ass in camp. Ricketts, offer a little bit more. Come to a conclusion here. I mean, you know what? I always say, you know, it takes two to tango. And Bellinger kicked ass for the Cubs, but the Cubs believed in him. They gave him, what, $17 million last year? Off of what? A couple, some bit not so sparkly year?
Off of two really bad
injury-plagued
years.
His reputation was in the garbage. I mean, I remember I had this same discussion, and even bits is forgotten. Scott Skiles came on with me when he was coaching the Bulls.
Love Skiles.
And I said on the air, and he heard it as he was driving, that he was holding out. And I said, you got no respect for nobody. They busted their ass for you. You want this much money? The Bulls came and hired you to coach them. They believe in you. There's got to be an impasse. And guess what? Paxson ended up thanking me, and Skiles called the station because he didn't realize, just like somebody in town doesn't realize, that when you threaten somebody, that it's not always going to be effective, Carm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bellinger isn't in the threat mode, but I think Boros, I mean, he comes across almost as greedy, too greedy sometimes, in my opinion. I think it's a combination of both, but Ricketts says they don't want to talk to him. So who are we supposed to believe?
I don't know. Who?
Right?
Ricketts is saying that,
Boros has a hard-line stance, and they know it, and nobody's talking to each other.
Yeah, you know, the Cubs have...
They don't get Bellinger, they're not winning. I'm telling everybody now.
Yeah, because then you're depending on a young kid in Michael Bush to produce the way Bellinger did last year.
You want me to pop the balloon? Here's what I'm going to do for everybody today. I'm going to give you two for the price of one. If the Bears don't sign a veteran quarterback, they're not making the playoffs next year. Mm. And if the Cubs don't sign Bellinger, they're not going to make the playoffs either. They're not even going to maybe be a .500 team. I'm saying it right here. That's how big that kid is for us. So I'm telling you, two for the price of one. Sign a vet for the Bears. Sign Bellinger for the Cubs. We got a shot.
Is there, let me throw one scenario at you.
More room down the trough?
Well, I was going to say, like, let me throw one scenario at you if they don't sign Bellinger, all right?
Okay.
Like, let's look at the Mets, right, who last year, going into last year, spent a ton of money. It wasn't working out. They traded some pieces away. Mm-hmm.
They fired Showalter, which was a mistake.
I like Buck, I know. The one bright spot in their pitching rotation just got injured and has a shoulder problem. We know what that generally means, pitchers and shoulders. Like, that could be a death. Now, like, if the Mets are falling out of it for the second straight year and decide to sell, like, could you go to them and trade for Alonso and deal with the fact that, you know, yes, he is going to be a free agent, but, like, I don't know. I'm just like, if they miss out on Bellinger, what's the plan,
well,
I guess?
See, here's my deal. Because of the fact that Milwaukee, because they lost Burns, got weaker.
Yes, that's a good point.
They lost Council.
They lost Council and Burns.
Who's the second coming of Connie Mack, I guess. All right, I'll find that. Will be up to me and you to decide as we do the couple show for our 5th year anniversary, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm just telling you right now, if we could get a guy like that, does that? Of course, it replaces him at the bat. But Bellinger can play three positions.
Yeah.
He's a quiet type of guy. He reminded me a lot of Chris Bryant when Chris Bryant produced. He had that demeanor. And I don't know if that's the type of demeanor that you're going to get that performance out every year, because it's proven out that Bellinger hasn't had a consistent career.
Mm. It's weird. Like, he's been an MVP. He's been a Rookie of the Year. He's won a World Series. He had those two down years after the shoulder. He hurt his shoulder celebrating.
Yeah.
It's another one of these, like, they're doing a celebration.
Don't do
that. I mean, my God. And
act like you've been there.
And it knocked 2 years off where people have wondered.
Now, I'll just be honest with you, Carm. On the other side of town, I know Jerry Reinsdorf. I've been out with Jerry Reinsdorf. He's 87 years old now. I just would like to say this. That stadium, I don't care where you put it, if you don't put good ball players in it, or you can't project anymore and rebuild, look, when you say you can't make it at a certain spot, and then you go to the state, what you got to do is investigate. Did you pick up a Harper? Did you go after an Ohtani?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go after the pitcher from the Yankees? Who is it? The kid that went free agent and then won the Cy Young last year. Why is he escaping
Blake,
my name?
Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole. The Sox have never gone after anybody that would bring people to the park in the biggest way since Fisk, in a way.
Yep.
We had Frank Thomas, homegrown. But that's what they got to do. I don't care where they move it. But here's another thing. If Jerry wants to move the team, somebody over there is not reading the tea leaves. Because I'm out and about. And you know what? People, you know what they're saying, most of them? I'm sorry to say, folks. If he wants to leave, leave.
Leave.
But sell the team then if you don't like it here. And then buy a team and put a team in Nashville. But keep the White Sox here, which would be somewhat. Or he would take the Sox with him. But the American League would not go long, folks. I'm telling you right now. Without a Chicago
representative.
I'm telling you right now. And I just think that Jerry's got to cool his heels on the idle threats. That's all.
I think, as you mentioned his age, Jerry's about to turn 88. I think he is.
And he's got to show that we still want to win if you want to get taxpayer money.
I think he knows at this point that when he's gone, the White Sox will be sold. Michael will not retain controlling interest of this team.
No.
And I think he's
only owns 9%, Jerry.
Right. And I think he's doing everything he can to sweeten the deal for his family and his investors. I think that's what this is all about. I think a new ballpark raises the White Sox are valued at roughly about $2 billion. That valuation certainly goes up.
And it should be much higher, but
yes,
they have not
be.
Run the team.
You're right.
Look, there's people still going through parking issues there that have been going for 2 decades.
Right.
So the Cubs never have these issues, and they don't even have
They don't even have parking.
So my point is, if you got the same people running the show, and then you're going to ask for money, you got to look into certain things. And you know what? I don't think it's going to happen if you threaten to move, because most White Sox fans right now, I'm just being honest with the hierarchy over there, would tell you, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mike, Yurko and I have talked about this, too. I as a diehard White Sox fan.
I've been a White Sox fan my whole life.
I know, Mike.
Enough is enough. If you want to go, go. But sell the team if you don't like it.
I've said the same thing. And am I to believe that they build this new park? You know, Jerry talks about, well, we can't compete in this economic era.
Come on.
Am I to believe all of a sudden he's going to start spending $500 million on free agents? He's never spent more than $75.
No.
I told Yurko yesterday, Mike, in the last 10 months, the Pittsburgh Pirates have handed out two contracts in total value that are greater than any contract the White Sox have ever given a player, Mike.
It's like their talent evaluation. I told him right to his face, we were at breakfast, I said, why don't you just give McCann a new contract? I mean, you know, we don't know if he'll do the same, you know, thing. Just being honest with what he said to me, nothing big. And they picked up Grandel. And I told him, what are you doing? And you know what? It's just a nonsense. It's not been run right, folks.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And if people don't like it, I'm being straight up about being a White Sox fan. But there's a lot of disgruntlement out there that would prefer he do leave. And I don't think they realize that. They're like in a bubble, and they can turn it around. But you can't just go down there and say, give me the money, otherwise I'm leaving. You can't.
White Sox win total is a paltry 63.5 right now in Vegas. It's the third lowest, Mike. Only the Rockies and the A's.
And Tim Anderson got picked up by Miami.
Miami, yeah. Got a five, and he got a major league deal, too. $5
million
major league deal.
So he joins Jake Berger over there.
He does, yes. And
See, the Berger thing will bother me for the rest of time. He was a Chicago White Sox.
I love Berger. I mean,
but
I do.
That's it, see?
I know, I love him.
That's the point. Who didn't love him that you would give that kind of deal away? He's going to be a 30. He's going to be Schwarber Jr.
Ah, gosh, it's tough. They were so bad last year. They were so friggin' bad. It was like, you know what? I kind of get like selling high on a guy, but I do love Berger.
I'm going to give Chris Getz a little bit of a. You know, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
But it's like his buddies from the Royals organization.
I know.
I mean, what? Why we're raiding the Royals executives?
Thank you.
Pedro now, and all the rest.
I will say he added two good people outside of the Royals.
Barfield?
Thank God. He added Barfield.
I like Barfield.
And Bannister. Both Brian Bannister, who is Floyd's son, Josh Barfield, who is Jesse Barfield's son. Both come from good winning organizations. Barfield has been working with Arizona under their GM, who's a Theo guy. And then Bannister has been with both the Diamond. Bannister's been with the Giants, and he's been with the Red Sox. So, like, I like those hires. But you're not wrong. They plucked, like, four other guys from the Royals organization.
Look, I don't know what Kenny Williams finally did, but it looked like he was never going to be let go. And they're digging out of such a debacle, of a projection of a team that people actually thought was going to win over 100 games, that now has been reduced within a year to a 63-win ball club in the Las Vegas. So any criticism, I always used to tell the White Sox, the administration, which is still intact, negativity, positivity, that's how you sell tickets. When I talked White Sox, they sold tickets. Whether they liked it, and I always talked a lot of positive about them. I'm a White Sox fan, and I remember the good years. I remember the 92, 93, 94, 95 years. I remember the Tommy years.
Yeah.
And I remember all that. They act like everybody talks just negative about them. But how can you talk positive right now with the win total you just said and what's going on?
When you go 61-101 and then you got a win total 63.5. Yep.
Let's go.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Jim Miller. We'll get some prep race action for the weekend for everybody's pleasure. We'll give you some best bets before we're out of here as well. More to do. Don't go anywhere, folks. Mike and Carmen, we're coming right back. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Entering the home stretch on this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. And it's time for Horse Racing 101. Some of the best handicapping you're going to get anywhere. He's constantly delivering for us in the winner's circle, and he's one of the best in the business, the expert handicapper from Hawthorne Racecourse, the one, the only, Jim Miller.
Jimmy!
Boys, as we speak, I am overlooking the track at Hawthorne Racecourse, watching thoroughbreds train on the racetrack here. We are 1 month away from opening day for racing on March 23rd. Guys, we're 2 months away from the Illinois Derby, so we're monitoring these Derby prep races because we may see some of those horses here at Hawthorne if they're not in Kentucky the first Saturday in May. So exciting stuff going on here.
You guys are not dark very often. This is one of the few times, right, Jimmy, as you guys make this track conversion, and you're the only ones to do this in the country at this point?
Yep, 5 weeks we're dark in the entire season, and that's it. And that's only the time to get that track down, which we did in a matter of 96 hours this year. It's the transition of horses for the harness horses moving off the backstretch, thoroughbreds moving onto the backstretch, and then we're right after a training, but 4 weeks right up to opening day, and I'll tell you, a lot more horses here on the grounds, which will mean bigger fields, which will mean more value, so I'm really looking forward to this meet.
I think a store that succeeds or a restaurant that succeeds is one that's open consistently. Is that the thinking that you have at Hawthorne? While a lot of people are dark, why some tracks have left certain areas, not only the state of Illinois, that you want to be known as a track that can be depended on. You don't want to be that restaurant that you go to that's open, you know, 12 hours and you got there on the 13th hour and it's closed. Is that consistency along with the partnership that you have with the sports book?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're working towards. We want to have something going on for our live product each and every week that you're here at Hawthorne. So when you come out, you know there's going to be simulcast wagering going on. You know there's sports betting going on. But if we can expose people to the live racing product as well, maybe you're going to grab some new fans. It's different times of day that you have for night harness racing compared to afternoon thoroughbreds. But maybe get some transition for the betters there as well. So
and
it
it's
is
a nice evening.
You want something consistently happening, and that is the thing. And it is. It's a great place to come and watch races. We're actually expanding our apron this year, so you get a little bit better view of the racetrack as well. Oh, nice. So a lot of good things going on.
The big prep race this weekend is the Rebel. Is that right, Jimmy?
Yeah, 50-point prep this week. It's crazy to think Oakland Park has so much money. The Rebel is a Derby prep, and it's $1.2 million, but it is. It's a really good race this weekend. It's going to be one of the three we focus on, guys. Here's the three races we're looking at. They're all at Oakland Park. Big card on Saturday. So we're going to bet all these horses across the board. Start in race 7 at Oaklawn. We're going to bet the three horse, Lenny May across the board. Adds Lasix for the first time, 5-1 on that horse. Then go to race 10. This is the $600,000 Razorback Stakes. We're going to bet the 8 Magic Tap across the board, who should get a perfect stalking trip. And then, Carm, going back to a horse we talked about a few weeks ago, in the Rebel, race number 11, the one horse, Carbone. This is a horse who ran in the slop last out and did not like the slop at all. It's going to be fast at Oaklawn on Saturday. Carbone should run a big race. They have the horse at 15-1 in the morning line, guys. The horse is going to be probably 4-1. I think they missed on that one. Okay. But, hey, I'll take a $10 winner anytime.
Anytime, yeah. And Yurko was inquiring about that Dwayne Lucas horse. You said you kind of like that one too, right?
Yeah, that's the 11 horse, Just Steal. This is a horse that ran a really big race last out. And I had some people put some eyes on the horse during the week. They said this horse has added weight since that last race, which is a positive sign. Mm. Just Steal should run really well in the Rebel too.
How does Oaklawn generate these types of purses, Jimmy? What's the secret down there for them?
So in Arkansas, Oaklawn is the only racetrack that goes. So they generate money year-round off their simulcast products, but they do have a casino on site there.
And
this is exactly what you've seen from the impact of casino, because their race season is only from mid-December until Derby weekend. So they're generating money year-round, and then they're only having to pay it for 6 months of a racing season. And guys, hopefully we're just around the corner for seeing things just like that here in Illinois. I'm excited about that too, but I do think eventually we're going to get right to
it's
that point, and maybe we create a circuit, Hawthorne to Oaklawn, Oaklawn to Hawthorne.
Yeah, that casino's the key, though, not
it's
just the book. The casino's the key.
Yeah, you can do more than just go and watch a race.
And you're raising the purses.
That's it.
Well, and the beauty of it all, too, especially with the legislation here in Illinois, is you know there's a set amount of money that has to go to purses. So purses, no matter what, are going to increase, and that's something that we're really looking forward to, too, and something that I'm excited about.
All right, Jimmy, good stuff, buddy. Have an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, you got it. Good luck.
See you, pal.
Jimmy!
Jim Miller at Hawthorne Jim on X, and you catching him there on the CarX Tire and Auto guest hotline. All right, good stuff there. Yeah, Oaklawn and Hot Springs. Hot Springs, Arkansas, generating those
what
types
else
of purses.
Is there to do there?
But the casino is the driving force.
I know. I used to go. You went there for the hot springs. You went
right,
there to,
right.
to take the baths.
I mean,
you'd go if you know after to dry out if you're an alcoholic.
What the hell else are you going to do down there?
What else is there to do? And now you got a captive audience and you got a casino. So I think that's what Hawthorne is doing. They're smart. I like their business. I think Jimmy does a tremendous job promoting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. All right, Mikey. So what do we got for some best plays rolling into the weekend? I know you were going to give out some golf. I love this because people, if they're catching up late on Saturday, they can still get in on this action.
Yeah. I mean, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to do three matches. It's called what I go through daily. I could lose every game. I'm not saying because it's golf. There's no rhyme or reason. You look at the odds. You say, why is this guy getting this? And it works out pretty good for me. But I could lose every one of these games. I'm not telling you to take them. But I'm just saying what I'm going to go through today. I've won and swept the board before, and I've also been swept, and I've done in between like everything else. Maverick McNealy plus 105 over Michael Kim. That starts at 136. Okay, and then I got two more quick ones here. Histazuni, okay, at minus 110 over, I can't even read my own writing, Hubbard. Over Mark Hubbard,
okay,
minus 110, and Del Solar, minus 115 over Norlander. Those are my matchup golfs, and I have more after Carmen.
I love it. All right. All right, I'll give out one NBA game for tonight.
People don't know what we go through.
It's crazy, right? I mean,
right? Every day.
I mean, outside of football season, I'm always like, oh, all right.
And then on top of that, we think our producer was murdered last night. I mean, all sorts of things going on.
I'm gonna fade some trends here, which you know
I love when you fade trends.
And normally I like the trends, but I'm gonna fade a couple of trends here, and I'll tell you why. The trend for tonight, if you were looking at the Bucks T-Wolves game in Minneapolis, the trends would tell you to bet the T-Wolves. They are now, and the money's coming in on the T-Wolves. It was 3.5 about an hour ago. It is now T-Wolves minus 4.5. They've been excellent against teams with winning records this year. The Bucks obviously have a winning record. Milwaukee has been the worst team in the NBA in terms of cover percentage this year when they are getting points on the road. But I'm going to fade a couple of trends, and I'll tell you why. Milwaukee's just 3-7 since Doc took over. They lost their last game going into the All-Star break. Well, they lost their last two, actually. But the one they lost last Wednesday night, against Memphis?
Bad.
Mike, oh, my God. Against basically a G League roster. J.J. Redick went on an epic rant against his former coach, Doc Rivers. I just think with the week off and some of the, you know, they've been kind of taken in the teeth here the last week. I think the Bucks come out and play a little bit more inspired and play a little bit better. I'll actually say Milwaukee plus the 4.5 tonight against the T-Wolves in Minnesota. I'm fading the trends, and we'll be done with it there. That's it for me.
Okay. Now, I also put like a unit on each one of those three, but also just for futures. Eric Van Rooyen wins the Mexico Open at plus 400 right now. What I do is take Rogers at plus 1,000. Velimaki, he's a good kid, plus 1,200. I don't even know if he's Italian.
I have no idea.
Olsen at plus 1,200 and Nikolai Højgaard. The four guys trailing him just go to Bovada. Put some couch change on it, maybe $25 a piece.
Nice.
It's hard to hold the lead this year. Last year, there were about 4 or 5 games, and already it has happened, but early, that beginning to end, the guy won. This year, that's not happening. Cantley looked like he couldn't lose.
Yeah, right, and then he lost.
And the week before, the same thing happened.
Yeah.
Different year, like Luke said. Bet the next four guys. And just hope, it's almost like betting the field, but you're betting the four guys behind the leader, and you'll make money if one of them wins.
Love it. All right. Eric, anything for the weekend?
Eric, my guy, he's back. Dun-da-da-da.
I have an eye on a future in the NBA.
I love when you do that.
So I love the top of the West, obviously. The top four teams in the West are terrific.
Yes.
They're only separated right now, top to bottom, 2.5 games. I think after this week, the Nuggets have not been healthy in a while. Jamal Murray's cleared. KCP's back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best chance to get these odds at the Nuggets to win the West at plus 450.
It's not a bad call.
It's the lowest of the four right now.
Yeah.
And I think after a week or two, they're going to jump a couple teams, and those odds are going to change.
It's not a bad call at all. I like where you're thinking. All right. Excellent.
Yeah.
Stuff, boys. Eric Ostrowski, our executive producer, thank you as always. Thank you as well to Luke Pergandy and Jim Miller. And most importantly, thank you for listening to the show. It was great to be back, Mike. It was great seeing you last night. Have a wonderful weekend. Happy wagering, and we'll do it again next Friday.
So long, everybody.
This is The Odds Couple on ESPN 1000.